remember as a bocher once, I was walking Yerushalayim.
Oh, come on.
Anthony,
come on.
I remember once as a bocher, I was walking Yerushalayim, and a Filipino tourist came over to me and asked me if I could help him find facilities. Okay. I don't know whether what I did was right or wrong, but either way, I took him to a shul. Again, I don't know if what I did was right or wrong, but I took him to a shul. And as he opened the door, as we opened the doors to the Beis Medrash, this shtibel on the corner of one of the side streets of Yerushalayim had double doors which opened straight into the Beis Medrash. He literally froze in his place. Because there was a sea of young boys aged 11 to 13, approximately, but a whole room full of them learning or saying Tehillim, I don't even know. He had never seen anything like it in his life. So this gentleman was frozen in place. He said, now I can see why you're such a wise nation. That was the beginning and end of my acquaintance with this fellow. We're a nation that learns. Victor Miller always used to say that there's no nation or religion in the world that expects, that demands of its people, of its members, to learn in every spare moment of the day. Concept of Bittul Torah, to expect everyone to do their best in Torah. Yes, you have the imam, you have the priest, you have whoever it is that leads. We don't have this concept of a hierarchy or an elite of rabbis and everyone else just follows what they say. We are all expected to become as proficient in Torah as we possibly can. The Chofetz Chaim writes in this week's parasha with regards to the Oroi. He says it says a different terminology as is used for the other Kedim, the other vessel. It says Va'osu, so you're nodding your head. It says Va'osu as opposed to the other Kedim, for which it says Va'osiso. The difference is plural and singular. When it comes to the other Kedim, the singular Va'osiso is used. In regards to the Oroin, it's the Osu, and they should make. Why, says the Chofetz Chaim? Because Torah is for everyone. Torah is in the plural because Torah is for every single Yid. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to build the Mishkan, Chofetz Chaim brings the same piece out of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, challenged the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem said, build me a Mishkan. Make me a dwelling for the Shekhinah, and I will dwell amongst you. So Moshe Rabbeinu challenged, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I build any edifice that could contain your Shekhinah? That took all the wood in the world, that took all the real estate in the world, it just wouldn't be enough to contain the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Shekhinah doesn't make sense. So Hashem said, don't worry, take 20 kroshim, I'll tell you exactly how to build it. I don't need so much space to dwell amongst you. Karbonos. Hashem says, take karbonos, sacrifice karbonos. Should be an atonement, should be for gratitude. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, for us to show gratitude to you, Hashem, for us to atone for our mistakes, all the animals in the world aren't enough. So Hashem said, keves echad in the morning, keves echad in the afternoon. That's what I'm asking for. One sheep in the morning, one sheep in the afternoon. I'll tell you what I need from you. I'll tell you what I want from you. In other words, says the Chofetz Chaim, a person, a Yid, can be overwhelmed. There's such a great Torah, there's such a great Talmidei Chachamim, there's G'dolei Ador, there's been a proficient in all Shas. Hashem says, each person, according to your capabilities. I didn't ask you to make a Mishkan, this is for all of Klal Yisrael. I didn't tell you to take all the wood and all the sheepskins of the world. I didn't tell you to sacrifice all the animals of the world. I'm asking you to do two sheep. One in the morning, one afternoon. Take 20 beams and build me a Mishkan. Everyone in their own home, everyone in their own schedules, make space for me. That's the message of the Mishkan according to the Chofetz Chaim. that Torah, yes, is for everybody. Oroi, Roshin Rabin, all of us have a shaykhus and can connect and should connect. And the Rebbeinu demands of us to use our time well for Torah. But at the same time, the message is, as long as it's according to our capabilities, the best of our capabilities, we don't have to measure ourselves up to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Vilna Gaon, Reb Akiva Eigel, Moshe Rabbeinu. Vasi Sami Mikdosh, 20 kroshim, sheep in the morning, sheep in the afternoon. It's a nice Dvar Torah, but it's hard to live up to. Because at the end of the day, that's what we do. We do measure ourselves up. There was a Rosh Hashiva. Most likely you've heard of him. He's called a Moshe Hillel Hirsch. Rosh Hashiva Slabodka, currently one of the Me'etzes Gedolei HaTorah, one of the Gedolei HaDorah today. An American born Gadol, lives in Eretz Yisrael. He was on a fundraising trip in New York some years ago. And he asked the driver, besides for the regular list of donors, there's someone I want to visit. Someone the driver hadn't heard of. Someone called him Elias Schwartz. He said, I'd like to visit him. So the driver accompanies Moshe Hillel Hirsch or Shula Slobodka to this home, and he sees this scene, and that's how we know the story. It says, goes into this now elderly man, Rabbi Schwartz, and he reminds him of something that happened in the 40s. He tells this elderly man, you know, you were the manal, I remember you as my manal, in a, what they call an American yeshiva, we call school, called Teras Emes. This is before Moshe Hillel learned in Slabodka, before he learned by Aaron in Lakewood. This is in the younger years. He said, you were the principal of the school, you came into our classroom. This is in the 40s, and he says, you asked us what we want to be when we're older. And the typical answers came from a class of primary school boys. Policemen, firemen. Hatzalah was only many years later, so no one said Hatzalah. But the regular doctor. And then the manal, this Rabbi Schwartz, turns around to the boys and says, choose the career you want. But one thing I want you to know. There's nothing more valuable than Torah. Remember, no matter where life takes you, no matter what you do, no matter what your career is, nothing is worth more than the Heiliger Torah. It's all these little boys. I want you to remember, each and every one of you, that every single day of your life must have Torah in it. He spoke on that level. You must learn every single day. Because whatever you do, however important your job is, nothing comes close to the value of Torah. So Moshe Hillel was telling Rabbi Schwartz and reminding him of where, as principal, as he came into the classroom, this primary school called Teras Emes in New York. And he said it was that moment. I was a young boy at the time, a young American kid who dreamt of being either a baseball player or, you know, whatever. It was that moment that you put into my heart and mind the concept and dream of having Torah in my life. And today we have one of the Gedolei Reb Moshe Hillel Hirsch, Reb Shila Slabodka, Me'etzes Gedolei HaTorah. From one moment of inspiration of this Rabbi Schwartz, who no one's ever heard of. I'm sure he had his ups and downs in life as well, until he made it to that point. But what the Chavetz Chaim is telling us is that the Osu, Rosh Rabbin, each and every Yid has Torah in his life. Whether you start your day, or you end your day, or in the middle of the day, you've got to fill your day. The gaps of our day are meant for Torah. The Avnei Shoya in this week's parasha are strangely only mentioned at the end of the list. These were precious, expensive jewels. They were part of the big day kohuna. And yet they mentioned after all the cheaper items, skins and wool, easily available, cheaply available. The first to point this out, as far as I know, is Erechaim. Your Chaim already points this out. He says, why is the Av Nishem left all the way to the end of the list? So he brings from the Gemara Yuma Ein Heil Medalef, the Gemara says, the Av Nishem were different to all other gifts and precious items that were brought to the Mishkan because, anyone know? Sorry? Oh, you're already going to the answer. You're stealing my speech. I only wanted this answer. They came from Shemayim. The Gemara says that they came from Shemayim with the Ma. They came down with the Ma, these precious stones. So Pinchas Roberts writes, it's from his the writings are from his Droshes in the Shul, in Hendon Hadas. So he writes, as for those of you who heard Mr. Harris giving away my speech, he says, why is it left to the end? Precious stones coming down from Shemayim because there's no effort put into it. The value is in how much toil, tircha, has gone into something. And since these stones literally fell from heaven without any effort on the part of Klal Yisrael, it's left to the end. It's not about how precious it is, how expensive it is, but rather how much effort people put into it. So if you put all that together, every Yid has to have a chelik in Torah. Every Yid, the Osu, we all have a part in the Orin. Each person according to his version says, I don't need the whole world to contain my glory for the Shekhinah. A Mishkan, 20 kroshim, bit of skins, one animal in the morning, one animal in the afternoon, that's all I'm asking for. I'm asking for your capability. I'm asking for your maximum. If we do that, then we come at the beginning of the list. It doesn't matter if the Av Nishem are precious, they end up at the end of the list. It's not about how expensive, it's not about the value, but rather how much toil and effort is put into it. I once heard from Ron Gurovitz, the Gates of Rosh Hashiva, he sent over from Elie Kushelevsky. For those of you who don't know, Rabbi Ron Gurovitz's name is really Kushelevsky. That's how he's related to Sweden. During the war, they were escaping, so they changed their name to Gurovitz. It stuck, Gurovitz. But the name is actually Kushelevsky. So Ibn Nachum David, you got your eyes, it's the first time hearing this. So he said over from Elie Kushelevsky that Torah, as we know, is compared to water. Nimshol amayim. Water has a very interesting physics. That if you carry it on your back, take 50 liters or even less and put it on your back, it's not so simple. You want a trolley or two. If you dip yourself, if you immerse yourself in that very same water, the water carries you. Fascinating. So he said that's how Torah is nimshol amayim. If you carry the weight of Torah, if it's an oil, if it's something I need to do because I have to take the box of kliyos of the Torah today, it's going to weigh you down. You're going to be looking for excuses to miss that kliyos. If we immerse ourselves in the time that we have, also in mikdash, in the time that we have available, we immerse ourselves. It makes no difference if all we have is 20 minutes a day or 20 hours a day. If we immerse ourselves in that time into the Torah will carry us. That's how it works. When Chana davened, after 20 years, Shmuel was born. And then there's a part in Nach, it's in the Psukim, which is less known. We know of Chana's tefillah, which is less known, that Shmuel did some misdemeanor as he was serving the Beis HaMikdash under Eli, the Kohen Gadol, and deserved to die. So Shmuel encourages Chana and says, don't worry. His life is forfeit. But you'll have another child. You'll have another child. Don't worry, this one child that you davened for, there'll be another child to take the place of Shmuel. And now these words are already famous. Whether it's from Nach, whether it's from the song. Elana zeh espalolti. No, Chana says. The 20 years of davening went into Shmuel. The investment of toil, of tears, through the trial of not having a child is in this trial. El hana ze spalalti. Her point was, I want the child that I received as a result of my tears, toil, and sweat. You can't replace that with a gift from Hashem. I want this child. And Shmuel survives, as we know. Because that which comes through toil, through immersion, has value. That Avni Shoya, beautiful, more expensive, the most precious stones and everything in the Mishkan, end of the list. No toil, no sweat, straight from heaven, straight from Shemayim. What we put our effort into, that has value, that goes earlier in the list. There's a story that I heard myself from Yitzhak Shadron, the only son of Rav Shalom Shadron, the famous Yerushalayim Maggid. Fascinating story. He told me, at Shalash Shudas in Yerushalayim, I used to go to him for Shalash Shudas. So he told me that his father, Rav Shalom, heard this story from the American soldier himself. So this American soldier tells Rav Shalom that he was serving in the American forces during the Second World War. He was in yeshiva, he was drafted, and now he's on a submarine serving in the marine forces of the Americans. At one point he's wounded in action, he's unable to serve anymore, and he goes back to America. A bullet hit his leg, he's not able to walk properly. He receives an army pension, can't work. Can't walk, can't work. So he receives an army pension on a monthly basis, and once a year he has to go in for a medical check to see if he's still eligible for the pension. It's costing him a fortune. Paying for the whole family. So you got married, the kids grow, they're literally paying for the whole family. The years go by, family grows, and he's sitting and learning Gishma. Goes for his medical check, and as Yitzchok said, L'chol b'sorcha marpe, the Torah heals, and he becomes healed. And now, he's no longer eligible for the pension problem. So now, at his age, to start looking for work, start sustaining his family, it's an impossible task, but they don't want to give him the pension anymore. What does he do? So he goes back to the connections that he has from his army days. Generals, friends who have gone high up in government, who took the career of politics. He uses them, all connections, can you help me out? Tries this, tries that. Eventually, he finds someone that remembers him fondly, who actually secures 10 minutes with the president himself in the Oval Office. President Roosevelt at the time. Eisenhower, sorry. President Eisenhower. He prepares himself well, he's only got 10 minutes. Puts on his Shabbos best, he prepares his speech, he walks in. He says what he has to say. The president looks him in the eye and says, let me tell you a story now. I was the commander-in-chief of the Allied forces during the Second World War. And at one point, I was in a submarine in enemy waters. So we couldn't come up, we had to stay submerged for a lengthy period of time. The problem we had was, the challenge we had was, the morale of the troops. It was super depressing. To stay cooped up in the same Daladamas for such a long time, the same people. And the worst thing for an army is to have low morale, no energy. So we tried everything. We brought in comedians, we tried games. It was too much of the same. It was the same people, the same squishy area. And I was pacing up and down the hallways of the submarine, wondering, what am I going to do? It's not going to work. And then I hear from one of the rooms, one of the bedrooms, I hear animated voices. I hear soldiers having this interesting and animated discussion with energy, and I wonder who's left on this ship that still has energy, that's still happy, that's still excited. So I threw the door open and I see two lads, two soldiers, sitting on a bed. They're holding this huge book. And they're punching the air and they're having discussions in an animated fashion. And I went over to the two boys. And I said to you with that boy sitting on the bed, what is this? What are you doing? And you told me that you were once a yeshiva baka before the war. And you brought the books with you to keep up your studies. You don't want to fall behind. He turns around to this now middle-aged man and he says, you told me then you want to be a Talmud Chacham. You're telling me now you want to continue on to become a Talmud Chacham. You get your pension. Off you go. The story has so many lessons. The Hashkocha. It's a fascinating story. But we can take out another point as well. What was he doing with his Gemara on the submarine? He was drafted out of the yeshiva. He was schlepped into the army. What should he do? Potter, Chayev, to learn Middle Torah. He's schlepped into the American army in Germany now. Life at stake. The world's on fire. We're talking about the Second World War, not some little mission in peaceful times. He had his Gemara on the submarine. He had someone to learn with. He was learning with Geschmack. That's oil. That's toil. That's someone who really has every excuse in the world not to spend time in Torah. There was no question. There's no question in my mind that that wasn't easy. To open the Gemara. And everyone else is depressed around. It's enough of a reason not to open a Gemara. A whole depressed boat. And yet he sits there with his friend and he's learning Gemara with effort, with toil. And it pays off. In this case, we see the results. Hashem reveals the curtain sometimes. He opens the curtain, lets us see a beautiful story that transpired over decades. Not always do we see the results, but there are, both in this world and the next. Always. When Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas Roberts brings this also, sees Rav Akiva. He sees in a vision the future of Akiva teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Menachos Chavtesim at base, Toshash Koichai. He became weak. He became weak when he saw how great Rav Akiva was. And I was very pleased in the preparation of this shir, because I was always bothered about this and didn't have an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu was jealous of Akiva. Can I say for him? Well, why do you understand that? Moshe Rabbeinu is Kol HaTorah Kula. He's the Moshe HaTorah. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu Toshash Koichai became weak when he saw Rav Akiva? How do you understand that? However you want to cut it. How do you understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, again, who are we talking about him? Everything was taught at Sinai. Every single halacha knech was taught at Sinai. So what exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu see in Rav Akiva that he didn't have himself? Says Rav Pinchas, an eye-opening idea. Says Rav Pinchas, because Moshe Rabbeinu received it as a gift. Hashem gave him the Torah on a silver platter. Rav Akiva had to toil. Age of 40 is an Amoretz. At the age of 40, he's now an artist who said, give me a Talmud Chacham, I'll bite him like a donkey and a shechenu kechavoyim. I couldn't say it if it wasn't a Gemara. And the same Rabbi Akiva with toil, sweat, yes, the drip drops on the stone because I can also penetrate to my heart, my mind. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's what Toshash Koichai Moshe Rabbeinu was. That he acquired this knowledge. He became a Talmud Chacham. He acquired Torah through sweat, blood, and tears. Through trials and tribulations. Through tircha. Through omol v'yegia. That's what the Toshash Koichai was about of Moshe Rabbeinu with regards to Rav Akiva. It says right at the beginning, going backwards through the parasha. So that you're right at the beginning of the parasha, the Yikhu Li Terumah. The famous words. And the famous question is going to be, what am I going to say? No, try again. Mitna, thank you. Why is it the Yikhu? I forgot about that. Why is it the Yikhu? It's just saying Mitna. You give, you don't take. Correct? Chazal compared this to Kilechach Toiv Nosati Lachet. What's the Shaykh? Says in the pasuk, "Ki lekach toiv." That Torah is a lekach toiv. How'd you get from Yikchul in Truma, the mission for the Mishkan, to Ki lekach toiv nasati lochem? The Torah is also kicha. Like kicha kichem is there from what's this? Back to Pinchas Roberts. So he says something fascinating. He says the Beis Hamikdash was called Levanoi. One of the names of the Beis Hamikdash, you might remember it from the Ishanas, Levanoi. Why was it called Levanoi? Because a person walked in with an Avera and he came out, Lavan, white. The Beis Hamikdash, the carbon with the tones, they'd come out clean and clear and transparent. Levanoi, Lavan. He says, who's giving who, says Pinchas. Come to the Beis Hamikdash, your little sheet that cost you £250. Okay, expensive sheet, thank you. And what did you get for it? Levanoi. Walked in, stay full dry cleaning, spiritual dry cleaning from bringing your sheep to the Beis HaMikdash. So who's giving who? Says Rav Pinchas. Who's giving who? You're receiving in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Bring your carbon, you're receiving. So he says so beautifully. He explains this seemingly strange connection between Lekach Toiv and the Yikra. He says, Ki Lekach Toiv, Hashem says, you see the Torah. And it looks difficult. And it is difficult, let's be honest. Tchilosim Mar, the Medrash says in Parashas Noach. When you look at a first daf for the first time, it's difficult. It's cardboard. You've got to bring it to life. You look at Amud and Gemara for the first time, it's difficult. You've got to break through it. You've got to break the code. You've got to penetrate and find the geshmak and find enjoyment. It's hard work. The enjoyment is after the effort, after the toil. That's how it is. Let's face it.
The fun sarah.
Correct. So the effort pays off. You need that effort. So he says, Ve-yik. So the Torah says, Ki lekach toiv. What might seem, a person might turn around and think to himself, what am I doing for Hashem? A natural expression. I'm davening to Hashem, I'm learning, giving tzedakah. This is what I do for Hashem. The pasuk says it's the other way around. It seems that way on the surface, but it's really ki lekach toiv nosati lachem. I'm giving you. If you break through that code, if we're able to break the code of learning, if we're able to get that feeling of giving, whether it's time, energy, which is just as valuable, sometimes more, than giving finances to other people. Giving people time, a listening ear. Energy or finances. Who's giving who? Ki lekach toiv, just like with Torah, so too with Truma. Says Rav Pinchas Roberts. That we, who feel like we're giving Hashem, are really on the receiving end. It's true for Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. It covers the entire spectrum of Yiddishkeit. A beautiful story on this point is the Chofetz Chaim, who someone overheard, some clever people, the Chevron like Klai Yisrael, if not for them, wouldn't have all these stories. He was listening in the loft of the Chofetz Chaim. It's not that chutzpah is good. He put his ear to the door of the Chofetz Chaim, who was privately, as he would every evening, locked into his attic and talking to Hashem on his own, thinking no one was listening. But listen to the words he said, quoted by the listener, the eavesdropper. He said, Hashem, I owe you so much. Listen. You've given me the Chofetz Chaim. You gave me the Mishnah Berurah. You gave me Avas Chesed. You gave me the Yeshiva. And on he goes. Listen to how he was talking. And he finished up, Hashem, what can I give to you? What can I give to you? Listen to how he was saying it. How he saw his accomplishments. What everyone else in the world would see as, what I've given the Ribbono Shel Olam. I wrote the Avas Chesed. I sweated for years and years and years in every line in the Mishnah Berurah. Who's giving who? On the surface, it seems the way, the natural, on the surface perspective. But the Chofetz Chaim gives us a perspective, this deeper perspective of life, which is, Ki lekach toiv nosati lachem. Through the toiv, through the sweat, it belongs at the beginning of the line. The Avnishen can be left to the end, the more expensive stones. And at the beginning is the ones that come through toil, the ones that Klal Yisrael had to work for. What we work for, what we toil in, is worth so much more to Hashem. How much? How much time? according to what we're able to. But for Osu, it's for all of Klal Yisrael together. Thank you and good chance.